to the 10 Loads of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're back to basics.
It's me and Randy off again. It was so much fun.
We finally got it. Hopefully for permanent this time. We'll see. How are you today, Nick?
I'm doing really well. You know, life is really good. If you notice, there's something I'm not wearing and something I haven't been wearing for a little under a week now. I think Monday. I sent it off on Monday. So it's Saturday now.
Oh, my goodness.
6 days.
I've been wearing a little red thing.
We both have something to talk about. For those audio listeners, I was showing my two empty wrists. I'm not wearing an Apple Watch.
That's right. I forget there's some people that don't watch this. Nick has no watch. He's watchless.
There are a surprising number of people who watched on iTunes. So shout out to you, but you should totally watch it on YouTube because, you know, you can see us. I've been watchless.
We're so beautiful.
It means I broke all of my activity streaks. I haven't even looked at my activity app. I'm sure it's just blank.
I stopped looking years ago. How does it feel? Have you done this before?
I've never really done it before. I've always been so addicted to my stand ring and my, you know, for sure I always made my stand ring every day, even if so between November and June, I was really regular on the treadmill. I was running a 5K every single day. I lost some weight. Wow. It was really great. But then my knees started hurting. And so I kind of got off that bandwagon.
That's not good.
So all summer I've been, you know, gaining it back. But, you know, I'll wait till Apple Fitness Plus just removes it for me. It'll be great.
Yeah. You need a Peloton.
I think I do. I need a Peloton that'll connect to my Apple Watch. And then I can, you know, sweat in style and think of all the thousands of dollars I've wasted.
Think of how many memberships you could sign up for here, Nick.
I know.
The possibilities.
I could blow out my budget in just a few clicks. This is great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've always been watch. Really addicted to keeping my watch on. Like, you know, even if I was going on a hike, I'd always have my watch on, you know, to track activity. There's this little game. And not to say that I don't enjoy the game, and I'm totally going to get back into it, whenever I get my new watch, I'll definitely be getting on the treadmill and filling my rings again. But it's been good to just take this little break and just not be attached, because along with the activity tracking also came a constant connection to my phone, which was the original selling point of Apple Watch, right? You know, always getting notifications, text messages, phone calls, everything goes straight to your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I do miss it, but I miss it in a good way.
You missed it in a good way.
Example, yesterday I was at the barber shop and my phone started ringing. And normally I would just take my hand out from underneath the little thing they do and just look and see who was calling. And I did that and I was like, why am I staring at my freckles? So I had to reach in there, grab my phone, pull it out, and it was a scam call. It just, you know, said scam. And I was well, lovely. Thank you. And so I felt like it was four times the amount of emotion that it used to be just with my watch. But I can just disconnect and leave my phone somewhere and not be concerned about a work call or a text message from Drew. I mean, I never answer your texts.
That's true.
It's kind of freeing in a way, but it's not a freeing that I particularly want to do long term. It's a good experiment. Mm. And so whenever I get my new watch, I will be back on all of the trains. And I think that was a good opening monologue. Only took about 20 minutes here. How are you doing?
That's
How
fine,
about that
no.
Series 6? It is so beautiful, Drew. Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, I'm into it just for the color. Let me set the record straight. That's about all I like about it. Blood oxygen monitoring is fine. Haven't found much of a use for it. It's something that you probably do when you first set up the watch and then never think about it after that. Kind
of
like the ECG.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, wow, that's so cool. Anyway, moving on. And I haven't changed my opinion on always on display.
Is it always on right
distracting.
Now?
It is on always on mode. I just wanted to see the first few days of using it, what the battery life would be like. And it's significantly better than my Series 5 was with the always on display. That was ending the day sometimes around 30 or 25%. Whereas now it's ending about the same time my Series 4 ended, which was about 65-70% at the end of each day. So it's pretty much comparable battery life, except with an always on display. So next week I will try doing no always on display and seeing if that drastically changes battery life. And maybe you can get 3 or 4 days out of it. I don't know. I haven't read much about people testing it, but my theory is that it won't make much of a difference. I'll turn it off and it'll be pretty much the exact same.
Yeah.
The power draw is still there. It's still thinking. So that's probably what's going to happen. But it would be cool if you could actually get away with, like, not charging your watch for that long. But I'm not using it that much anyway. Mm-hmm. For, like, activity stuff, it's basically just gone back to being what my watch normally is, which is notification management and unlocking my Mac, which I like a lot.
The most it's a small thing, key. But
it's a very expensive key, but it saves me a lot of time when I can just sit down, slap the keyboard, and then it just unlocks. Or just, you know, when I enter my password.
You have to have a password on your Mac because just all the randos walking through your house.
I know. No, if we got robbed, I would not want them to... There's probably a way they could. Either way, I like the sound it makes. It makes a little unlocking sound.
I see.
It's so satisfying.
Drew's really just in it just for the sound, to everyone.
Mm-hmm. It has a larger Taptic engine, but
it's very slight.
Not really. I couldn't notice it. Maybe if I compared back to back, I could see it, but no one will do that ever. So. Yeah, I saw Snazzy Labs just tweeted that he's returned to Series 6 and he will not be reviewing it just because it's a wild disalignment with his watch tastes and it's more of a distraction than a useful tool. I can't say I completely disagree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if anyone is not on the Series 4 or Series 5, then you should get the SE.
Yes.
And if you are in the Series 4 or Series 5, you don't need to get anything. Just keep... keep that, which I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but my question to you was, do you think Apple can get away with this same design next year, or do you think they have to do something with the look?
They're gonna have to do something with the look.
I agree.
The year that they do colors is always the year where they're like, okay, we don't have anything else to do, hopefully next year we'll be better.
Right? It's like consistent. The iPhone 7?
Yeah, iPhone 7, even iPhone 6S. Like, iPhone 6S mm-hmm. added the rose gold, which was, you know, new color, and it got changed a little.
Yeah.
iPhone 7, yes, granted, iPhone 6 through iPhone 7.
That was the one that stood out to me because the iPhone 7 just suddenly had way more colors than every other year. It was like, now we have two versions of black, and we have red, and we have rose gold and gold. Weren't there rose gold and gold?
Yep. I think so. Yeah,
there were so many colors that year.
Yeah, that was a good year. I mean, I enjoyed the colors. But
it was a good year for colors, I guess. I didn't like the white bezels on the red iPhone.
That was a big mistake. Apple.
Yeah, they fixed that the next year. But yeah, I think you're right. When they do the color things, that's when they're like, You know, half of the things people were talking about with the Series 6 were related to the watch bands, not the Apple Watch. It was all about solo loop and braided loop, which I saw someone's braided loop had already started fraying.
I saw that. Oh my gosh.
You see that picture?
Yeah, it just like one of the little strands was pulled out. And like it looked
$100.
Like grandma's knitted sweater, but like one little string was just pulled out and like the whole line was scrunched together and
that would drive me nuts.
Oh yeah.
I would hate that. And I'm also, in hindsight, seeing people review the solo loops, I'm really glad I didn't get one. Because for one, at first, they have since changed this, but at first, Apple decided that if you wanted to return your solo loop, you had to return the entire Apple Watch.
Jeez.
And that was so stupid that they changed it fairly quickly. So now they've said, yes, you can just exchange the watch band, but I'm sure there were at least...
For all models? Like, if you get a sport band and you decide you want a sport loop later, can you just return the sport band?
Maybe. I didn't read into that. I'm assuming yes, because that seems more logical than returning the whole thing. In fact, I would be fine if there was an option to let you buy just the watch and no watch band.
That'll I wouldn't come mind next that.
Year. Yeah. Even imagine how tiny that box would be, Nick.
They'll just send you the little felt case. It'll just put like a shipping label on the little felt thing and just toss it in the mail.
I have it in here.
Yeah, I got to find it.
Somewhere in another box, but if it was just like they could literally mail it to you in an envelope, it's not even a box, just a tiny like
a little postage
pouch.
Stamp. The postage stamp is just on one side, it takes up the entire thing, and on the other side,
the address is on the back. Yes, oh my god, that's genius. I mean, we only really need a barcode now, right?
Yeah, pretty much
as long as I can scan it. Come on, Apple. We're for you. 2030. We got to hit carbon neutral. Imagine you could ship like 20 Apple Watches in the box of one current Series 6.
Yeah, but how then, many? Then think of, I mean, I know it would be good for you because you already have bands, but think of the person yes. who needs a band and they ship them in like a little itsy bitsy box in the huge package. You know, okay, they have to stick it in like a
yeah.
FedEx envelope. And then that's going to take up a bit of space. And then they want the bands, they have to ship that in another cardboard box because the band is hard and it has to fit in a cardboard box. And if they want that 5-watt charger, they have to put that in another box and they have to ship all those things. And I just don't see how that's different.
Keep it the same for someone who wants everything. But if you don't want everything, yeah. I'll offer it at a lower price.
I would be all for if during the shipping thing you could say 5-watt charger, yes or no. Band, mm-hmm. yes or no. Watch, yes or no.
Do you want a watch or do you just want the brick with a watch band for some reason? That might work. Yeah. What do you think they should do with the design, though? Because I'm really not in favor of a circular watch.
No.
So
no.
What do they do? Micro-LED?
I don't know.
They gotta think of something.
I think that Apple ad with them trying to figure out what to do with the Series 7. No, it already does that.
Yeah, they backed themselves into a corner. And I imagine how incredibly niche and boring it will be next year if it's the same design with just some extra health feature.
Well, if like they add what? Like a FaceTime camera or something under the display or something, which doesn't sound like next year's tech at this point. It sounds like the infinite. It feels like the battery, the ultimate battery, whatever. That just, you know, next year we just had a breakthrough. We're getting cameras under the display. It's a breakthrough.
It's a breakthrough.
Still haven't seen it in a consumer product yet that I can afford.
True.
I
feel like if they add a camera to the Apple Watch, they have completely given up.
Yeah, that will be
it. Will be them. It will be them admitting we have completely run out of ideas. That's what it means. FaceTime on a watch.
Imagine the battery life selfie. Drain on that.
Oh my god, it would drain so fast.
Everyone, let's take a picture.
Trying to take a photo. Oh man, it will look so bad no matter how they do it. I guess the smart bands thing.
More people in the shot. I can't.
I've always wanted smart bands, but it feels like that's impossible for some reason.
Yeah,
they just haven't done it.
I would say maybe Series 7 would have smart bands. I mean, I can't think of anything else for them to do, and I feel like smart bands are pretty easy to implement. I mean,
you'd think, but we've been wanting it since
they spent enough time on a recycled knitted band. They could probably figure out how to stick a battery pack in a band and plug it into the serial port on the back.
I guess so. Maybe they just don't like the look of it, or you know, finding a way to exchange power and data through the smart. The little connector pins on here may be more difficult than we think. I don't know, but maybe it impacts water resistance or something. I don't know. It feels like they should have had that by now, but they still don't. So I'm just like, is it coming ever? Or is it impossible? I don't know. But I would have bought a Product Red Series 4 for the record if it was old Apple Watch, new finish. I would have got it.
How is the change from steel to aluminum?
I like it. I like the look of it. I mean, I actually, the main reason I wanted stainless was for the sapphire glass, not so much the chassis. I'm actually not a fan, having used for prolonged periods of time two stainless steel watches. The first one was the Series 3, which I got in like the space black. And then the silver. Silver, not so much, but the space black really collects fingerprints and like oils a lot more. And it feels like you have to clean it up a bit. And I kind of feel that way towards silver, is that it can collect fingerprints a lot easier than aluminum does, and that just means I have to clean it or polish it off a bit more. Whereas aluminum just feels like it's the same look, it's the same matte texture no matter what, whether it's you've touched it a lot, whether you've cleaned it. The only concern I have is the glass. That's what I'm worried about. And I have yet to decide if I want to get a screen protector because I don't like the look. And I don't like the texture of a screen protector. But at the same time, I also hate scratches. And the main reason I upgraded to stainless steel a couple of years back was because I bought my aluminum Series 3. And within like the first month, it had tons of scratches on it. And it was already bugging me. So now I'm like, maybe I should just be more careful. I should just baby my watch and just hope it doesn't scratch. And if it does, I should just live with it and just be like, you know what? Whatever. I'll be okay. I'll live with it. But I would totally spend the extra money. If they made aluminum with sapphire glass, I would buy that for sure. Okay. That would be like dream watch configuration. But they don't.
They'll do it next year. I'm sure they'll run out of ideas.
That's a good point.
If you want to configure the chips, you can have a S6 or S5 or S4, depending on how much you want to spend. And if you want to have a speaker, that'll save you $20. And
ooh, that's not a bad idea, actually, because I like never take phone calls on my watch anyway. I can, but I don't. I've never been in that situation. Also, it's not the cellular model. I noticed that when I was I was checking a control center. And normally I have a certain amount of the control center options turned off. And for this one, I had like an extra space at the bottom. Uh-huh. And I was like, wait, I thought I turned off everything I did on my 4. Why is there an extra space? And I realized it's the cellular button that they don't let you remove on the Series 3, anything, any Apple Watch. Even if you don't have it set up with a cell plan, they insist that you have to have that option there. You can't remove it. So I was like, oh, that's right. They don't put that on this one. So that's it. That's where I am. I'm keeping it. I like it.
Okay.
And I hope you get your watch soon.
Yeah. I hope the bloke who's sending it to me gets it in the mail at some point.
I hope
so. The band, though, do the bands match the red color? I know that was an experiment.
Pretty close.
To try. Okay.
Pretty close. I mean, I don't know if you can tell on...
It's
FaceTime call.
Yeah. I mean, it looks about
Does
right.
it look similar?
It looks fairly similar.
Yeah. I would say if you really, really focus, they seem slightly off. But
just like different materials? Just because
I
like
think that's what it is.
Hue in different materials?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of the same hue. It's just one is that obviously it's the sport band, whereas the other is aluminum. So the aluminum has a bit more of a sparkle to it, I guess.
Ooh, sparkle.
Whereas the... I haven't even opened the sport band it came with. I'm thinking about just selling that, just bringing the price down because I have too many watch bands as is. And
that you do.
That's the one sacrifice you make when getting a bright color watch like this is that it doesn't work with other bands as much.
Mm.
Like I felt like the Silver Series 4, you could pretty much put any watch band on that and it would work because it's chrome and it's reflective and
it's
it kind of matches
started
anything.
With.
Yes, the Johnny Ive watch of choice, but the blue Nike band with the holes I bought, I don't think that would go well with this anymore. Now I feel like having a red watch with the blue band would just clash and not look right.
I think anything with the red would make it like kind of like preschoolish, like you know the preschool hues, like red,
yes.
blue, green, yellow, and it's just like
yes.
real punchy and vibrant colors. I think it would work, but it would definitely look more like a preschool watch and like something you'd give your kindergartner, you know, a red watch.
Yeah, too many. Yeah, too many bright colors at the same time.
Dark
I feel
blue
like
and
there's
light blue, right?
Right. I feel like it would contrast poorly, and whereas I think like a black watch band with this would probably work well because the red would become the accent, and the glass is black, so. Red and black and maybe white could work with this, but I feel like more colorful watch bands won't work as well. I also have a blue sport loop, which I don't plan on using with this. I don't think it would look right, but it's amazing how much there is to talk about with watches, believe it or not.
I know. It's like there's nothing new about it except for the bands, and here we are talking about the bands for 40 minutes.
I have found myself doing that with people in the Discord and you and Randy, like... Even off camera, off podcast, you and I will just like go off about different watch bands and how they look, and it's kind of weird. There's so much to talk about, and when it comes to iPhones, it's like, you know, I guess there's just less. Yeah, I guess there's less like required accessories with the iPhone, whereas the Apple Watch, you like have to have a watch band, but with the iPhone, it's just like we're getting a 12 mini. Did you hear that name?
I did see the name, and I'm a little confused now. Again,
okay.
I have not been keeping up with all the leaks and rumors, which is part of my job, I think, so I've been doing a bad job.
It's a good thing, Nick. It's a good thing.
I saw the leak video. I didn't see the leaked video, but I saw the article about the leaked video. And have you seen the leaked video? Is that out there on the internet?
I don't know if it's a video. I saw a photo.
Okay, all right. I think that's might have been what I saw. Anyway,
okay.
The watch is a very good template for, you know, how to name things, right? They got SE, they got now they have the SE, they have the Series 6 and the Series 4 and the Series 5. Mm-hmm. I think they just need to just reset the iPhone names and just...
I think so.
I don't know. I feel like this is the year to do it, if any, because it's the big design change for the next rest of the decade, probably. And so if they just said, okay, we're going to start over. These are all now Series 1 iPhones. iPhone Mini, iPhone, iPhone Pro, iPhone Pro Max.
Yeah. I'm like, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I think this year they're going to go with 12 and 12 Pro and stuff just because of syllables. I think it somewhat works. It rolls off the tongue. iPhone 12 works pretty well. But next year is when you really have to think of something else because 12S Pro Max isn't good. That's
or
terrible.
iPhone 13. No one wants to buy the 13th iPhone.
13 maybe. Yeah, I don't know. They got to think of something. Once you start getting into the teens is when it starts getting a little weird. I mean, they've done it with iOS 14, and I just don't think next year is going to be a full number upgrade. I feel like next year would have to be an S year, and S with the current naming, 12S Mini, 12S Pro, just feels weird. So I feel like the naming's been screwed up for 3 years now. I didn't like what they did with 2017 naming, but you're right. They probably should reset the clock at some point and come up with some new 2021 edition or 2022 edition. I don't know. Base it off something else because they just can't keep going up like this.
They can just start don't naming use Roman them after numerals. Parks in California.
Hey, there you go. iPhone Weed.
El Rancho Cucamonga.
Right.
iPhone.
There you go.
Vancouver, Washington.
iPhone San Francisco.
There
Everyone
you go.
Would love to say that.
Get Tim Apple. Good morning. Right. Today we're going to be introducing iPhone San Francisco.
And there should only be a few more of these podcasts before the iPhone event, which is
hey, I guess we've gone
about.
The entire show without mentioning. Yeah, we did get like, you know, this whole leak about an iPhone event. But here's my theory on that. What, the 13th is the rumored date for it? On the 13th.
October 13th.
October 13th. My conspiracy theory. Apple already baited us for the September event. We were all iPhone, 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 iPhone.
Yeah.
And Apple was like, nah. iPads and Apple watches. And so now we got a rumored event for the 13th of October, and we're all thinking iPhone, 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 iPhone.
Right.
Tim Apple's going to be like, nah, Silicon Max and the studio headphones and maybe AirTags. And then we'll be like, no!
They'll bait
in
us
October,
again.
The end of October, they're just going to have a site refresh on the 28th or something, October 28th, some random day. They're just going to be like, oh yeah, we made some iPhones too. If you want to get those will be shipping.
And then
in
like pre-orders are that day.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-orders are that day. They ship in the middle of November and you're just like, what's going on?
Oh, that would be mind blowing. I don't think you're right, but at the
I don't
same
think
time,
I'm right
it would
either,
be hilarious.
But it's funny to think about.
It would be hilarious if we were like, okay, October event, here we go, guy, and then there's still no iPhones. It's like,
Tim Cook comes up there. Today we're gonna update two of our most beloved lineups, Macintosh,
the HomePod,
and our HomePods. HomePod.
We can't wait to talk more about the HomePod. And then all the leakers are like, what? What's happening? You did what? And then site refresh later that month. That would be quite hilarious.
Or just after the event, like when totally not mention iPhones during the entire event, and then after the website comes back up for the new Macs, they're just new iPhones on the iPhone page. It's like, yeah, they're up there too.
And I hate to jinx it, but there were a lot of people suggesting that September 30th would be the next Apple event because of the little calendar date on the Time Flies event. There was a time when they were using the iPad, and on September 30th, it said event, and people were like, oh, so that's when the next event is. But guys, we're recording this on the 26th and they still haven't announced it, so either this podcast ages horribly, which wouldn't be out of the ordinary, or Apple has waited to the very, very, very last minute to announce an event. because
they're just trying to see who's 4 days on notification away. Squad on their YouTube channel. They'll just go live.
They don't announce it at all. It just happens to go live.
Like even that second. 10 minutes like pre-stream, they don't even do that. No. They just instantly cut. Good morning. Thank you so right. much for joining us here today.
No one is prepared. I'm not reacting to it. There's no hype stream. It all just happens instantly. Yeah. Could see that. So hopefully we actually get what we were expecting. And exactly what I thought would happen is happening now. Like, we got so excited for iPhones at the last event, and then we didn't get them, that now we're leading up to iPhone event again, and I don't feel the same hype. I don't feel the same excitement, because I feel bait and switched.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I already got excited.
About them baiting and switching us again, possibly, you know. Now that precedent has been set, now we're all in the back of our minds. Well, just because all these reliable sources say that we have an iPhone event coming on the 13th. It's like, well, we thought we had an iPhone event coming on the 15th, and Apple even
right.
had, you know, time flies, and we got a notification, and it was no iPhones.
So now when it gets unveiled, I'm going to feel like, about time, you know, come on. It's not going to be like, yay, here it is. It's going to be like, late.
For it. Yeah.
How dare you? Oh, well. That's where I'm at right now, so...
So, depending on how it all goes, I am thinking about the Mini, the iPhone Mini.
Me too.
Because I've been using my iPhone 10, and it's pretty good. I haven't noticed any like performance features, but the battery health is 82%. And I'm basically walking from charger to charger throughout the day sometimes, it feels like. I have to charge it at least twice a day, if not three times, depending on how heavily I use it, which... I think for right now, I'm kind of doing like a little cleansing technology fast just because, you know, I don't have a watch right now.
Sure.
I don't have the latest phone. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that battery is kind of annoying. I see why people upgrade over the battery because it's...
That makes a difference.
It's annoying.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. But...
Hopefully the 12 mini has a good battery, we're hoping.
it has to be better than the 2 hours I'm getting on my 10 right now. So,
probably, yeah. I mean, it is small, so I imagine the battery pack in the 12 mini is pretty tiny.
The A14
is
like literally the second coming of Christ, so it's going to be perfect and fix everything.
Literally. I think you're using that word exactly right, too.
I know. We had the guy talk about the A14 chip in the basement of the Apple R&D lab.
I think in the book of Revelation, they talked about the A14 bionic chip, didn't they?
I think that's in there, Revelation chapter 19.
Yeah, exactly.
The A14 chip shall saveth you all power.
I'm excited to see how thin the iPhone packaging is.
Hey, I really hope they have an iPhone on the front of the box that I can hang on my wall. I guess at this point, that's kind of just
gotta
what
blend
I'm hoping
in.
For. Yeah.
It's got to blend in with my wall. It'll be flush with the drywall. It'll be like
just
ingrained.
Instead of just like a Ziploc bag, you know, that they shoved inside of a, you know, styrofoam box. They just have like a sticker that's the size of the iPhone, and it just says attached to wall. And then you just and you just stick the sticker on there. And
And we should get some Apple braided Lightning to USB-C cable included.
I'm actually quite excited about that. Do you know if we'll be able to purchase those separately? Is that the going
probably
rumor? Because I would totally e-waste. I would totally replace all of my current Lightning cables, which I think I have three of them, just two over here and one over there. And you know, I'd there's nothing functional.
I hope they're
wrong
not expensive.
These. I hope you know, if they're $50, probably not all of them, but maybe I'll get one.
$50.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
You know, whatever. Apple's been crazy lately, but like. I don't know. These cables, they're not braided or frayed or anything, but, like, they're getting there. I mean, this one...
Sure.
You know, I'm kind of worried. One day I'm going to try to charge it and, you know, leave my phone for an hour and come back and it's still dead. But, but you know, I mean, they still work. So, I'm excited for more durable cables. And
yeah, anything that ages better, why not?
Exactly.
You know, throw it in there.
And I still want more bricks because I'm still short a brick, but I guess that just means I got to buy one. Well,
I think that just means I need to send you some.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
we'll make that happen.
Just, you know, put it in the largest Amazon box you can find, fill it with styrofoam, and ship that out here.
I'll make it happen. But after a word from today's sponsor, take it away, Randy.
Hey, you wish you had more energy for today? Then you should probably go to MotoMotionCoffee.com. It gives you the energy to be more productive around the house. It gives you the energy to want to be more active. It gives you energy to be more creative. So order Moto Milk and coffee today. It gives you wings. Okay. It doesn't do that.
And welcome back.
Wow.
Thank you again.
I saw that for the ad sponsorship. Before. But did you know it's now 20% off, not 10% off? Man.
Hey.
We are just saving you money. This is awesome.
You're welcome. You can't afford to not listen to this show. Nick, I have a bit of an off-Apple question for you.
Okay.
Did you catch any of the Amazon hardware announcements last week?
No. Not
because Amazon,
seeing them.
Little startup. Little tiny company.
Little startup run by a guy named Jeff Bezos.
I think that Jeff guy has a bit of money. It's just a theory I have. There's no evidence or proof.
I think he made it all in the rocket industry. He owns, I think, Blue Origin, and they're just a super successful commercial rocket company.
Very profitable.
Has just
very
all
profitable.
Of the money contracts from everything.
But they announced, because Amazon owns a Ring doorbell, which I believe you've heard of.
I have. I think Randy has a Ring home.
Former host of the podcast.
Yes.
Now deceased.
Now he fell off the roof, if you saw the ad.
He fell off. Right. But they announced a Ring camera that is a drone, which I know you're kind of a drone
fan.
Whoa.
How did I not see this?
Look up Amazon Ring drone to read more about it. But essentially, it's completely autonomous. And it sits in a little docking stand in your house, and when you want to, from your phone, it will take off, fly around pre-mapped, like you can designate portions of the house you want it to look at, like go up to a window or to go to different rooms, and you can watch in real time the footage of the security camera looking throughout the house, and it will fly to different rooms. So instead of having a security camera in every room of your house, this thing will fly around. And it has guarded blades and everything, and it has obstacle avoidance systems in place. It should be around $250, and it's coming next year. So it's not actually out yet, but I saw that and thought it was very interesting.
I am in love with this idea. Okay. So, like,
Me too.
Like, when I pick up my Cybertruck and my yacht with all my money... one of the things
year.
That I want to have, yes, is you know that fence at Apple Park? While we were on the roof of the Apple store looking at the circle, the fence was made out of basically just poles, like 10-foot tall poles just out of the ground. Nothing connecting them, obviously connected with like a cinder block brick or something underneath.
Like
I've always wanted, you know, my mansion on top of the hill with like that kind of fence as a perimeter, because I feel like that's a really hard fence to like get over. Like you can't throw a rope
you
over
can't
it.
Climb it.
You can't. No. I mean, you could shimmy up the pole. It would be the only way, but just a little bit of electrical current and you can fix that. But I always also wanted a swarm of drones to guard the perimeter of said thing. And I think this is a really cool because I'm never going to have the, you know, mansion on the top of the hill, but I could probably afford to a $250 drone. If people just bought the stuff from the ad, I mean, I'm sure we'll just make it.
Maybe if you guys keep listening, we can make Nick's dream come true.
Yeah. Hashtag make Nick an oozle billionaire. Oozle googly billionaire.
There's a lot of issues with this idea.
Oh,
like, it's problematic.
There's privacy is top of mind, for sure.
partly, but I would also argue that this might be more privacy-focused than most security cameras, because when it sits in its dock and charges, the camera is covered up. It can't see.
Okay.
Meaning, basically, the only time Ring is able to record video and look around the house is when it's flying. And as we know, drones don't have that much of a battery life, so... It will pretty much not be able to see anything when it's in its station, which would be better than, I guess, a lot of security cameras people have now, which they just set up around the house and are on, plugged in, 24/7, and you're hoping that no one is able to look in and see. But I guess the thing I like about it is that, sure, I mean, it could start flying. I believe it's schedulable, so it will only fly around when you leave the house or something. But the thing is, even if it did to get up and start flying around your house while you were home, it would be incredibly obvious and noticeable.
Those things sound loud. Sounds like a hive of bees.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way this thing's going to start flying around and you won't know about it. Like, it's incredibly obvious, which I like over a traditional, you know, cloud cam, which when it's plugged in, it could just start recording, being accessed by either the government or hacker, whoever you want to imagine. And you have no way of knowing that it's rolling or that someone's actually on the other end. Whereas the Ring camera, you have to know when it's rolling. It's because it's making incredibly obnoxious noise. In my opinion, the biggest downside would be if you have pets, whether it be cats or dogs, if they're of certain size. Yeah, if they're just hanging out, chilling at home, and all of a sudden a drone starts taking off, they're going to freak out. So I wouldn't recommend it for if you have pets. But I don't have any, so I'm tempted. I'm kind of into this idea. I like this.
My interest is
and I'm
peaked.
Not really much of a Ring fan.
I'm not a home security camera person at all. Like, I wouldn't any other. I think this is the only one, only security camera I've ever looked at and been like,
Me too.
That's my reaction.
We have a bunch of cloud cams that are all facing outwards, so nothing's pointing inwards towards the house. Everything's just looking around the house 24/7, just in case, you know, we had intruders or something. But if this thing truly ends up having, you know, $250 and you can pre-map it to fly around the house, I could see myself being like, okay, while I'm away from home, I'll have it set to be like, you know, don't fly around when I'm here. And if it does, I'll know about it and just, you know, grab it, throw it away. But I'm hoping the obstacle avoidance stuff is good. You know, maybe the first few reviews can catch that and be like, well, ran into the door about 8 times. But, you know, obviously that would suck if it ends up happening. But in concept, I dig the idea. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think out of any camera I'd ever get that's, you know, home security, that's not, you know, a closed circuit thing. I mean, closed circuit, I'd be all for like a closed circuit system because, no hackers. It's offline, all that fun stuff.
Right, right.
But I don't know. Out of all the cloud, I'm always a little bit weary because we never hear about the stuff until it's already happened, right? It's like, and by the way, 15 million Facebook users have been exposed in 2017. Right, right. I hope you enjoy that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I think even with Ring, 2 or 3 years ago, they had a pretty big breach where like all of the backup videos were just available on some AWS file that like anyone could just go to. And in Amazon, anyone in Amazon was able just to, anyone who had the, you know, most of the company of Ring could just go in and look at all of your videos. And it's just like, I don't need that. No, I'm good. iCloud, if it went to iCloud, I mean, I'd be a little bit more.
You'd feel better.
Peace of mind. Yeah. Just a little bit peace of mind if it was going to more secure, because I don't really trust AWS. I mean, I know AWS literally runs like 2/3 of the internet. But
for privacy reasons, no.
Yeah, exactly. But for important things, like I trust Apple and their data centers. And that's about it for cloud things that I actually like trust for important things. And at the end of the day, what are they going to see me sitting here at work, you know, picking my nose? I mean, okay, whatever. But like, it's the principle of the matter. And I think that little flying drone thing. The fact that the camera's not exposed when it's just sitting there. You're going to hear it if it turns on by itself. And
very obvious when it's recording.
It's not, you know, just some, you know, like Randy had that one in his living room and it was like, hey, we're talking about something and, you know, who knows if Big Brother's listening. And it's like, I don't really right just want to invite Big Brother into my house like that. But obviously we have iPhones and Apple Watches and AirPods that are probably listening to us too.
True, true.
But, you know.
There are ways.
It's just how far do you want to go and how far do you want to let that in. But I like this drone idea, mostly because I love drones.
I don't have one, but to me, like, that's That's very Black Mirror, in other words. It's very futuristic. Like, I just like the idea of being away from home on a trip or something and just being able to pull out my phone and say, like, look around the house for me real quick. See how everything's doing. They pitched it as being like...
Did I forget to turn the sink off? Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't turn it off, but you'll be able to see that it's
running. Yeah, and ask your neighbor to, you know, find the key under the mat and turn off the sink for you.
Sure, there you go. I just like that idea of being able to, like, look around the house with a moving object, and then when you're not using it, it just sits and it can't see anything. Yeah. So, good idea.
$200 and something, that's a good deal. I mean...
Most drones are like more than that, or around that.
Yeah, oh, you know, dude, that's very cheap for a drone. With like, yeah.
It is a small drone. I mean, it's just 1080p. Yeah, it's nothing fancy.
It's definitely
fancy,
indoor, and probably no gyro. But, you know, it there's no wind. It's not going to be moving very fast.
Exactly.
It doesn't even look like
true.
You can control it. You have to, like, plot out a little thing, and you just say, run or something. A pause flight or
right.
start flight.
Like, go to this room, go to this room. Yeah.
So,
but that's, I mean, that's fine for
me. That's
all
you need.
Yeah, it's the basics. But I just mean there's a lot of tech these days, and there's very few new, unique ideas. And I would say that one is pretty dang close to being like, I never thought of that.
Well,
good
move. I've thought of it, but I've always wanted that fleet of drones that are just, because like my thing is like, okay, you have 10 drones on patrol, but you have, you know, 20 battery packs. And they're just always cycling through. And so the drone comes in, lands, you know, like a little robot arm, takes the battery pack out, plugs it in, and puts a fresh one in, and the drone takes off and continues on. And then another one lands, and then you switch out the battery packs. And this isn't that, but I think it doesn't need
I think
be.
It's simpler than that. Because
it's much
it's
simpler,
just,
exactly. But
yeah,
I like how
docking
it like, auto-lands,
into the charger.
And it like, docks like that. Like, that's
right.
pretty cool.
That's smart. Hmm.
I'm all for this. I mean, out of any Ring product I've ever considered getting, this is the top of the list.
For sure. I've never wanted a Ring either, just because our house doesn't even have a doorbell. And it's...
That's how you know you want to have friends over all the time, Drew. You're just so inviting you don't have a doorbell.
I mean, our house is pretty small to the point that if someone's out in the front door, we will know about it. It's pretty good old-fashioned doorbell. we're not rich enough to need to be like, what if I'm in another room? It's like, no, I'll hear you. I'll know about it. But, yeah, I think my sister has a Ring doorbell as well or something like that. And I've never had much of a need to be like, who's on my porch? But just to look around the house when I'm away is cool. I've loved doing that when I'm on a trip or something. When we go away on vacation or something, I'll take some of our cloud cams and just point them inward just to see what's going on inside the house. But I feel like maybe not dogs, but if you had pets you wanted to watch over, you could check in on them. They would freak out every time.
I think at some point some like larger sized dogs would just think of it as like a toy and they'd like try to take it out of the sky like a ball that's just hovering.
That would be a very expensive mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. You can watch the footage from it though. As it's flying around, you see your dog coming out.
Yeah. That would be pretty hilarious. I would like to see that. Yeah. No, we need more drones that have rechargeable docks they auto land on.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Well, I think with anything
right,
larger,
no wind.
If it was an exterior one, I don't think it would really work because
no.
Even the drone that we have, like if we start and stop it from the home point, like if we take off from one spot and, you know, it's clear, it's always going to return to what it thinks is that spot. But that what it thinks is that spot is like always about 3 feet off in any direction. And
right.
So you couldn't really design like a charger base station for that because it's just not accurate enough to like land in the spot. But
maybe if it had a code or something to eye in on. Like if the charger had
There are fancier drones that have like late home landing, you know, Amazon drone type things. But
yeah,
this is another Amazon drone that
I guess so. That's true.
Not going to deliver any packages, hopefully.
Sadly, that's the only thing I was interested in out of the entire event. I didn't watch it, but I read about it. Everything else is just kind of spherical Echo speakers, and Amazon has a gaming streaming service now because everyone has
the Echo Show 10 is a HomePod with an iPad on top.
Would you be into that idea?
No.
HomePod with an iPad docked
no.
and you can swivel it?
I don't want a HomePod. No, thank you. I listen to most of my music on my AirPods or my nice speakers. I don't need a HomePod.
It's kind of stupid, but I could see a product.
They're so
like
expensive.
That.
Like, maybe if they were $50, I could justify it, but dang.
$50. Okay. We have a price. We
not for like
Nick
some
needs.
Little show mini thing, like the actual HomePods for $50. But
well, hopefully we finally get that because it's been rumored for years now and they still haven't done it, but
maybe this year.
Oh well.
Maybe. Maybe at that mythical
maybe next year.
November event.
Will we get Apple Glass first or HomePod Mini first? That's
probably,
the question.
Probably Apple Car before both of those.
You know, the Bixby speaker still hasn't come out. I was just thinking about that the other day.
The Bixby speaker hasn't come out? This is like 2018.
I think it's been like... was it 2018? I thought we were coming up on 3 years.
Maybe it was 17.
Actually, unless it came out and I didn't know about it.
Because it was, I was working at my old job. When
Galaxy Home.
Yeah. It was the Bixby speaker. And they did the entire... They didn't use any speakers except for the Bixby speakers at the event. And like,
oh yeah,
that was like all of the speakers ever created, the Bixby speakers.
That's funny. It's still on Samsung's website, and it's like, what is Galaxy Home? You can use it for all this great stuff, and Bixby is included with Galaxy Note 10, Note 8, and S8. And it's like, oh man, these are all gone. And when you click go to Galaxy Home, it takes you to the Galaxy phone webpage, and it doesn't mention the speaker at all. What happened? Why was that so hard?
Well, just like AirPower, they decided, you know, we can't figure out how to put a speaker and a Bluetooth receiver on top of a little tripod. It's just too hard. I don't know how this is going to work.
They've released 3 folding phones after they announced the Galaxy Home. But they still haven't announced, they still haven't actually released the Galaxy Home into something you can buy. Why would... You're telling me this was easier to do somehow?
Yeah, speaking of, we need to talk about this, Drew. You have another toy. Pray tell.
I have another toy. It's the Galaxy Z Fold 2. This is the best foldable yet. And it's fun. I like it.
Are you
it's keeping a fun
it?
Toy. No, of oh, course okay. not. It's way too expensive. But it is fun. I will give it that. It was better than I thought it would be. I'll praise it a little bit here.
Okay.
The displays are excellent quality, good brightness, high refresh rate. The cameras are okay. They're kind of mid-range performance, but the speakers are very loud and it charges fast. It's got all kinds of bells and whistles. I mean, you got 3 cameras on the back, 1 in here and then 1 out here. So 5 cameras in total. So quite a lot of bells and whistles to play with, but
does it work to change the channel on your TV, though?
No, I haven't actually tried that. It might do that. But the build quality's good. Like, the metal feels nice. Other than the plastic screen, everything feels pretty high quality.
Have you had any screen issues with your fingernails?
Nothing major. There was one time where I was closing it a little bit, and I put my thumb right here, and I was applying force, and I noticed a little bit of a scratch. Nothing major. I mean, I really have to, like, I can't find it right now, but like, it seems you can like push it in, mush it a little bit, and it'll go away. But enough to the point that I realized, okay, yes, I see what they mean. Don't press hard on the screen with a fingernail, which is something I don't think Apple would be comfortable shipping, saying like, this touchscreen, don't use your fingernails on it. It's like, well, kind of right there, you know, like, it's kind of a weird thing to swear off. But I will say, in a very clickbaity way, the Galaxy Fold has changed my mind on foldables a little bit.
What?
Not in a complete 180 wow. degree way, but I described it in my Twitch streams as I've kind of 90 degreed my opinion of foldables.
90 degreed, okay.
So I haven't been like, don't like them. They're not the future.
So
let's completely go the opposite direction.
To here, you haven't.
Yeah,
opened
I've changed
it all the way
a
up.
Little bit. I haven't. I stand by a few things about the foldables, which is like, for one, I still don't think they're the future of all smartphones. I don't think all phones are going to head in this direction eventually. But I will admit that I used to think that they are a niche gimmick that will die out in a few years. Now I think they're here to stay, but they will continue to be a piece, a very small subsection of the market. They're not going to be tablet and smartphone replacements for that many people. It will be a fun luxury item for the tech community, but that's about it. So it's I think I saw someone describe it as the natural evolution of the Note series. You know, like Samsung makes phones every year that have stylus built into them that you can take out and use for stuff. The rest of the industry doesn't really do that. In fact, if you look at the top-selling phones globally, pretty much none of them do that. No one really cares about having a stylus on a phone except the Note owners.
Who wants and a stylus?
Who wants a stylus, right? And I think similar to the Galaxy Note, the Galaxy Fold will stick, you know, the foldable market will kind of stick around for that small subsection of people who do care. And this phone in itself, I feel like there's like two ways to review the Z Fold. The one is reviewing the phone itself, how it is today, and then the other side is reviewing the future of foldable, reviewing what it could be, what the next Fold will be. And if we're just talking about this phone and how it stands today, like many have said, no, don't buy it. It's not worth it. And it still feels very prototype-y, and it feels
really
like, yeah, I mean, the way software on Android in general works is very non-tablet friendly, and this is such a weird aspect ratio. I've been using it for, I think, over a week now, and I still can't quite find a sweet spot with software. It always feels like the app was clearly designed to be running on a 16:9 or 2:1 phone, like an iPhone or a Galaxy Note or a S20. It was designed for that, but now it's being blown up and it's being stretched out and the text is not optimized well and you're not really getting the tablet version of many things. And if you use it like this, it's incredibly skinny and super narrow compared to any other phone. Yeah, now the keyboard's too tiny and you can't really do much productivity. I mean, you can scroll, but it's not fun. I mean, it's incredibly bulky and thick, and it's not an enjoyable experience this way. And when it comes to tablets, this is kind of clunky too. I mean, the display is nice, being 120 hertz and rich in quality, and the speakers are good, but I can physically tell that it's plastic. Like, it gives that impression when you're using it.
Sticky finger, like,
yeah,
smooth the kind of glass.
Yeah,
like,
you get
the
crease. Right, right. It's part of the reason I, you know, the OtterBoxes have the, like, plasticky layer on the outside of some of them. It's like that, but with a crease, and you can't take it off, you know. So it's a smaller display than the iPad mini, and I like the iPad mini, but I remember using it, and in my opinion, that's kind of like as small as you can go with a 4:3 aspect ratio and still have, like, comfortable split-screen multitasking and a keyboard, and you can type with both thumbs. Yeah. And it's not exactly pocketable, except maybe for someone like you. You could probably pocket an iPad Mini if you wanted to.
I pocketed my iPad Mini quite a few times, and I was much younger back then.
I had a few friends in high school that would I would hand them an iPad Mini, and they could fit it in their cargo shorts. But this, like, in my opinion, iPad Mini is about as small as you can get comfortably with a tablet display, and this is smaller than that, and it feels very crammed with even two apps being used at once. It's very narrow and skinny and crammed. So Samsung advertises you can do three apps at once. I don't even want to imagine trying. I tried to do three apps for a second, and I was just like, no. Oh, God, no. Maybe picture in picture.
Are there even three Android tablet apps to try at once?
Android is kind of different from iOS. It's kind of like scalable. Like, you can set it to any aspect ratio you want, but obviously it's not good at it. Like, I can recreate it here. So this is my default. This is normally what I do, is like Twitter on one side, Discord on the other.
Okay.
And it's already pretty,
so,
like, once the keyboard comes up.
Oh, wow.
Two fairly skinny screens with the pretty mini keyboard. And then if I wanted to try to do three, let's grab YouTube, it would look like Discord really tiny up here, YouTube really tiny down here. And, it was closed.
It crashed.
Some reason. I can't tell if that was a crash or if it thought I wanted to go home. But either way, it's not good. There's a reason Android tablets don't do very well. And after using, like, this is the best foldable I've ever used by far, because I feel like there's actually a case of, like, being able to use a large display and fold it up and take it with me is kind of an interesting use case. It's a very narrow one, but it has convinced me that if Apple were to make a foldable like this, it would be the best one by far, because they would get iPadOS and iOS.
The software, right? Yeah.
Right, right. And I think they would get the aspect ratios a lot better too. I don't know why they decided, like, with a foldable, from what I've discovered, like, you have to have a weird aspect ratio for one format. You have to pick, do you want it to feel normally like a tablet, or do you want it to feel normally like a phone? Okay. But if you choose one, the other one's going to be awkward. So if they were to make a foldable with an aspect ratio like this, then unfolding
it would be weird.
The tablet,
yeah,
would be kind of weird. But if you want to make, I don't have a spare iPad, I'll just pick you up, Nick.
Okay. Hello, viewers. Everyone. Hello, hello. Good
if you have a tablet like this, this is gonna trip
like
everyone
a mirror.
Out. Yeah. If you have a 4:3 aspect ratio like this, when unfolded and you fold it up, then you're gonna have a really squarish, not tall, you know, stunted looking smartphone. So you have to pick an aspect ratio you want to stick with. And the Z Fold 2 somehow didn't pick either and just decided to have weird aspect ratios unfolded and folded. Whereas I feel like if you just picked one and decided we're going to have a clunky Surface Duo looking screen on the outside and then a 4:3 on the inside, you'd probably have a better chance of it being practical. And that's likely what Apple, I think, would do. And probably the only way you could make a decent smartphone external screen with a decent tablet unfolded screen is if you did two hinges, like unfold
like a Z.
In a Z format.
It's almost like they should name the Z Flip the V Flip and save the Z Flip for the Z Phone.
Right. Exactly. That would have been a much better idea. I don't know why they decided to go with Z on the device with one hinge. What letter is that to you, Nick?
That is a Z, I think, actually.
You know, if you got two of them here,
yep,
it would be a Z, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works. So, yeah, I feel like, however, whenever there's a hinge added on tech, instantly adds $1,000. So if they were to make a Z foldable with two hinges, it would be probably $3,000, not two. Damn. So I will stand by my point that Samsung released this too early. The tech is not ready yet, and it's fun for us tech journalists, but...
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. I don't agree with what I'm about to say.
Great.
Since they're able to sell it and sell the product at the mass market, you're kind of funding the R&D costs. Like, I know Samsung's a big company, but at the end of the day, they need to rate each product on the cost that it's going to cost to make it, and the cost that the money that's going to bring in. But since they're able to basically sell their prototypes, what Apple would consider their internal prototypes, like, imagine if Apple was selling, you know, the iPod iPhone that, you know, you scrolled to get to contacts back in 2007.
Sure.
Before they actually released the iPhone. If they were selling those, that would help the company kind of fund that development cost. You know, they'd be like, okay, yes, we're going to be spending, you know, $1 billion on this, you know, I don't know how much it costs to make a smartphone. $100 million.
Several billion.
Sounds too much. Several million dollars to develop this folding hinge. But we're going to sell these, and of course it's not going to make a profit because, you know, we can't have good margins, but at least the units will cover themselves and hopefully buy back just a little bit of that R&D cost so that it kind of takes the edge off their inevitable goal of having all of their phones be, you know, high quality glass foldable displays that, you know, don't crack or have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't agree with that, but I think that's a valid point.
That's a good point. It's a valid point. I think, I guess it turns into a spectrum, right? Like, I'm sure Apple's R&D, similar to Samsung, is constantly working on something, and they're constantly working on beta versions and prototypes. And eventually they just have to decide when is it time to take this prototype and mass produce it and start asking money for it. And Apple, I guess, has a bit more strict of a threshold of our product has to reach this type of quality control before we're comfortable releasing it. Whereas Samsung probably has a bit of a lower standard of like, this is very prototype-esque. This is not ironed out. This isn't quite finished. You know, to apply a screen protector and say, don't remove it is like, what's the point of it then? Like, someone tried to explain it to me online saying, well, Samsung can remove the screen protector. They just don't want the user doing it. And I'm like, but if I can't remove it and only Samsung can, that's basically part of the screen for me then. That's like,
yeah, it's because not a screen protector. It's just another layer on the display.
Right. It's just an extra layer that if it gets scratched and banged up, they're saying, take it back to Samsung.
Our iPhones have a touch protector on it, and you can actually, you know, they should just sell iPhones without the touch sensitive display. You know, you can just peel that off if you want to.
Right. That makes sense. But yeah, Samsung in general has been known throughout history to release things before they're ready. And
shocking.
I feel like Apple is just not that type of company. They're the type to be like, well, let's wait until we can really. And I think that impacts brand and reputation a lot, because when Samsung is the type of company to ship things like the Note 7 or the first Galaxy Fold, which they were about to ship, I ordered one, and then they all start falling apart. And then they decide, actually, we're not going to ship these to anyone. You can only pick them up in store. I feel like that kind of damages, you know, there's certain people that are big Samsung fans, and they're always going to be. Samsung could pull another Note 7, and they would still probably be Samsung fans. But, you know, the average consumer, the average consumer, some of them might have certain quality control or certain expectations when buying from certain brands. And when you lower that reputation and you lower that bar of here's what a finalized completed product is like, then you lose some of the everyday consumer. And I think that's why Apple has such amazing loyalty from their brand, is because you've had a huge number of people that have consistently bought their products and got something they enjoyed that was of quality, happy results, high customer satisfaction. And I think Apple knows if they were to release hardware that was somewhat like this, they would probably lose a lot of that satisfaction and lose a lot of that brand reputation they have going for them. So that's why they haven't done it. I have no doubt there's prototypes internally at Apple that are just like this, that have iPadOS in here and iOS out here. Mm-hmm. And it would be fun as a tech enthusiast, as a big nerd who talks about Apple products all the time, it would be fun if they decided to sell something like that. But at the same time, I totally get why they don't, because the community isn't tech enthusiasts. The market is not a bunch of nerds that are interested in the latest, greatest, bleeding edge. Can we try to fold this? Can we try to make a foldable device in 2019? Okay, how about 2020? But I'm still not convinced Apple will release one. I'll say that. I think they'll skip it.
Apple never had an iPhone with a stylus, and if we're taking the Note approach to this.
Mm-hmm. And they never made a touchscreen
Mac. Maybe they'll make a folding iPad, because they made the Apple Pencil, given that logic.
Mm-hmm.
Is
the time for all of our folding iPhone and iPad jokes. iPhone 6, iPad Pro, they have folded already. Haha, very good, everyone. Comedy 100.
Comedy. Wow. Good job, everyone. I am just dying of laughter over here. Well, I'm dying of something, probably not of laughter.
Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
Yeah, I would love an iPad that folded. And I'm talking a full size. I'm taking you with me here.
Mm-hmm.
A full
12.9
size.
9-inch.
Here's Drew, everyone. Wave hi, Drew. See, you're on the camera. Oh, wow. Look at that. Drew's in two places at once. And the probably
everyone can see
by,
our
like,
latency
three frames.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I would love an iPad that's full-sized like this, but yet it folds out, and you get, like, basically two full-sized iPads. That would be lovely.
Whoa.
Like,
so you mean, like, two 12.9-inch iPads?
Yes. Like, a 12.9-inch.
Oh, my God.
12.9-inch iPad sandwich. And my other one's in the other room. But, like, just I've played with them right next to each other, and it's just glorious. And they're huge, and just having one Apple Pencil be able to, you know... It's a huge canvas.
Man, what would that be? Would that be like a 17-inch or 18-inch iPad when unfolded?
Probably.
Wow.
But then you fold it back. Maybe it's like the Surface Duo as far as the hinge style. And I wouldn't mind an actual like gap because I like the glass. I don't want to have some...
Oh, okay.
If I'm using an Apple pencil, I don't want to have to gingerly use the Apple pencil to not...
You're just basically saying you want two iPads glued together.
Exactly. But work together. Obviously. Having some working together. I'd be all over that. That'd be so much fun. But... And that's the only way I could see Apple doing like something really foldable, because like depending on how they did it, you could have both the screens facing each other when it's folded closed, just like the Duo. Uh-huh. And when you open it up, it can be that laptop concept that we've had for ages, where you have the soft keyboard, soft trackpad, and screen.
Ah, okay, that would be interesting. Yeah,
that'd be kind of back around, and it'll just be a regular iPad. Yeah, it's just like the Duo, but works. And a full-size iPad.
It would actually have Apple Silicon in it, so it would be really powerful and not
wouldn't have
super laggy and dated.
2 years ago, Apple Silicon in it.
Yeah, right. I'd be curious to see how Apple will enter the market as a Apple fan and as someone who likes their stuff. I would think it would be really interesting to see what they could create. But as a... someone who's covered them and knows what they've released and not released over the years, I just predict they won't. I think this is the type of trend they will research and think about, because there's all kinds of moonshot projects internally, but at the end of the day, they're going to come to the conclusion, this isn't worth it. We can't make something that we're proud of, so we're not going to do it. So I'm pretty confident this is going to be a Samsung market for the foreseeable future. I don't see Google making anything competitive or worthwhile, and I don't see... many other companies outside of Samsung making many foldables that seem worth it, you know, FlexPi, Motorola, Razer.
What was the drug lord? The fold.
Escobar.
Escobar. Pablo Escobar.
Fold. Yeah. Actually, I have the Escobar Fold 2 right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I picked up this as well. So on this side, I have the Escobar Fold 2. And then over here, I have the Z Fold 2, which I thought we could do a comparison of. So, we'll
very good. I love the best. Cinematography.
I have three hands, by the way. Oh man! But yeah, I'm surprised that company is still a thing, or they may have imploded. I don't know. I haven't kept up to date with them.
It was some guy in his basement with a website and some gold foil.
Yes, that was an interesting development there. But I also don't have much faith that Z Fold 2, future foldables will get much cheaper. I haven't changed my mind on that. I don't think that, similar to iPhones, they haven't really gotten much cheaper over time. I mean, they've gotten better value, they've gotten more features, but price-wise, if anything, they've gone up over the years, not down. And Apple has decided that people are willing to pay that much. And I don't think Samsung has the power to decide that people are going to be willing to spend this much on. You know what data I'd be fascinated in? How much people return the Z Fold 2? What's the percentage?
Well, now that they're literally giving people $100, I think that return rate should be 100%.
Yeah. You saw that, right? That was
weird. I did.
Weird.
That just made me smile because I know how that decision happened. It was some finance guy was like, well, you know, we have a really high return rate. I think we need to fix this because we're just, you know, everyone's just returning these things. So maybe if we offer like a small incentive to have people keep it. And everyone on the board's
right.
Oh, yeah, great idea. I like that idea. Okay, yeah. So $100, you know, settled on 5% of the value of the phone, you know, $100 credit to anyone who wants to return it. We'll give them as an option. Obviously, they can still return it. And, you know, a few people will take advantage of this. No. Everyone should be taking advantage of this.
Yeah, word gets out. Word gets out fast.
It's like they thought 6 or 7 people would do this, but, like, no.
Everyone's
going
to do
it. If you have a Z Fold Z Galaxy Fold 5G? Wait, hold on. What is it?
It's very simple, Nick. It's called the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 2 5G. I don't know why that's so complicated.
Okay. If you have a Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 5G 24783, then just make sure to get your $100
on the side of the box.
No way. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Longest name ever.
They just have it like wrap the text around like they couldn't fit one of the last words there, so they just have it on a little bit on the other corner.
But it just keeps going. Yeah. Oh man. It's also designed poorly too, because I cut some of the tape off, and as I cut the tape off and started pushing the box out of its packaging, it ripped the like outside leather, like this weird kind of plasticky texture they put on the box, and it has felt underneath it, and I was just literally unboxing it the way I'm supposed to, and I just pushed it out and it ripped the leather off from the sticker, which I thought was weird. So I don't get, like, you're charging two grand. Samsung should be trying to cut corners, make this thing as cheap as possible. Yeah. And yet they're going overboard with this package. It's very weird. Like it,
well, because they know,
like,
only YouTubers are going to buy it. So it needs to look real cool for the unboxing videos.
But yeah, it only took one tweet for someone to be like, hey, you know, if you try to return the Z Fold 2, you can instantly get $100 off your order. And there's no punishment after the fact. So everyone should just do that. The Z Fold 2 actually starts at $1,900, if you think about
exactly.
it that way.
Why don't they just advertise that on the website? That actually might get a little more traction.
Honestly, I think you're right, though. I think that's exactly what happened. They wouldn't have done that because I've never seen that happen with any other product. I've never seen Samsung, Apple, or anyone say, like, when you try to return something, they're like, hey, do you just want $100 to keep it?
I feel like
I've never seen that.
Creed has to be involved in this. Hey, buddy, you don't want to return this. Take some money.
Right. Right. Take some money. So the only way that they decided to do that was because there's probably a very high return rate, is that there's a lot of people that buy them because it's cool, but then decide, yeah, but I don't want to keep this thing for a few years. You know, I'll use it for a few days, take some pictures or some videos with it and try it out, but then I'm going to send it right back. And because the foldable is more of a tech community thing, not a everyday consumer thing. I went to a small gathering recently.
Ooh.
We were masked up and everything, and I got to show off the Fold 2 to about six or seven people there. And the excitement is not, you know, people aren't mind blown by it, at least where I live. And I feel like I live in a more everyday consumer type situation. You know, I was using it and no one was running up to me asking me, what is that? What kind of phone is that? No one cared. I had to bring it up in conversation every time. I always had to go,
hey guys, look at my cool phone. Guys, it's amazing.
This
look
is,
at it fold.
This is
cool.
A new foldable phone. And
it's the future.
The people I was hanging out with, the people I was hanging out with don't watch my videos, for the record. They're not those kinds of people. So I was showing it off to them, and I was not criticizing it. I was hyping it up, basically. When I try to get people's impressions on things like the Z Flip or this, I hype it up a little bit. I'll be like, so it's skinny on the outside, it's big on the inside, so you can have a larger display. And I showed it to, I think, six or seven people, and they were all like, huh, that's kind of cool. Interesting.
And how much is it? $400?
They usually never got to that point.
Like, yeah, my iPhone SE was like $400, and man, I was like, that's really expensive. How much is this? Like, is this one of those $1,000 phones? And you're like, oh no.
That's pretty much how it went. Is average in the tech community, we get used to phones being $1,000, but outside of that, it's really not common. People really aren't comfortable spending that on phones, and this is twice that. So when you show it to people, they're kind of like, ooh. $2,000? I didn't even know phones got that much.
My car's not even worth $2,000.
Yeah, right. So if you're wondering if this is like as innovative as the original iPhone, it's definitely not catching the same reaction as the original iPhone. I'll give you that much. I think that was more of a wow factor than foldables, which are just kind of like, interesting. That's cool. And then they go on with their day. There's no like, I got to get me one of those. You know, there's not that driving force behind, I need a foldable phone. No, most people are just like, no, this is fine. And as foldables, if they do get cheaper, normal flagship phones will also get cheaper and have better and better hardware. So, yeah, I mean, it's here. It'll be around, but that's about it. As influential as foldables are now, I think they're going to be just about as influential 5-10 years from now. That's how I see it.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't have anything else to say on the Z Fold besides it sucks and it's Randy's fault.
I will say it's much better than the Surface Duo. Hey. That's for sure.
Well,
big time.
Seeing how that's a beta product, the Z Fold is a beta product, and the Surface Duo is not a product. I think that
it's an alpha.
No, it's not even. I was going to give it. It's not even an alpha product. It's some kid in his basement was like, "Whoa, what if I take two Android phones with some duct tape?"
Progress.
I'm a genius. $1,400.
Exactly.
Buy it, please. That's where Microsoft stands. I don't think that's going to do very well at all. That should not exist. That should never have existed.
It's offensive. It's offensive to me that it exists. I'm triggered every morning I wake up and I think the Z Fold exists.
Trigger warning whenever I think of the Z Fold. Yeah. I have to kind of remind myself to keep using it because I want to have a good amount of screen time with it. But I do find myself wanting to go back to the iPhone somewhat regularly. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to use this. I got to try this again. Here we go. It's actually very hard to open. I'm just not noticing today. I mean, obviously you can do it, but there's been several situations where I'm like, come on. Like, it's very, I mean, you can freeze it in any orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty stiff hinge, but when you just want to open it and use it, it's kind of like, and I also hate the noise it makes. When it sits at your desk and it hasn't been opened in a while, and then the next day you open it, it makes this little noise that's just like, it sounds like a peeling noise. That's not very re-encouraging to hear on a, you don't want to unfold a $2,000 device in here. You know, it makes this kind of peeling noise. It's just like, stop, please stop.
Well, hey, have you ever taken a phone call with the Z Fold and you're done talking?
I haven't,
and you just go
actually.
Because, you know, that's the main purpose of foldables. You have to hold it sideways, and when you're done, you go to end the call.
Actually, there's no earpiece on the inside here, so you can't take a call like this. You have to take it like this.
What? Oh, boy.
So the Z Flip, you could do that, like an old fold phone.
Well, that's half the reason why I'd ever want a foldable, so I could go, oh, yeah? Well, you talk to this person!
Seal it up. Yeah, I never had a flip phone, so I didn't.
I had a flip phone, but they were not cool. Let's just say I was embarrassed to use my flip phone. Sitting there in 2013,
right?
T9ing it.
Well, anyway, hopefully we get some more announcements in the next week or so. But thank you all for watching/listening. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.